My name is Irene Kurka and I welcome you to my podcast, Neue Musik Leben. This is a German podcast, but once in a while I do some English episodes. I have studied classical voice and I love to sing lots of contemporary and experimental music. And if you would like to know more about me, please look at my website www.irenekurka.de. I will put this link for you into the show notes. You're also welcome to subscribe to my monthly newsletter. You can do this on my website. In this podcast, I talk about themes all around new and experimental music. I share with you behind the scenes, insider knowledge, and I bring to you the human beings out of the new music world much closer. I'm cooperating with the NMZ, Neue Musikzeitung. This is one of the biggest German music papers. In this episode, I interviewed the composer and clarinet player Jörg Frey. We wanted to do this interview for quite a while already, and we always thought we could and would see each other and, yeah, do it personally. But as you all know, there are challenging times, and at some point we decided not to wait any longer. We made this interview for you with the technical possibilities we now have. So I welcome Jörg Frey into my podcast. Please enjoy this interview.
Hello, Jörg. Yeah. Hello, Jörg Frey. I cordially welcome you into my podcast, Neue Musik Leben.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. Nice to meet. This was a long time since the last time. And yeah,
it has been a while since we actually have been seeing each other and doing some things with each other. I mean, music projects. I would like to know from you, how did you find your way into new and experimental music?
Yeah, that I think it's it started at this experimental music point. It's not that I found a way to go there when I was 15 or 16 and I became aware what that things like creativity is something. I was at this time, I played a little bit clarinet and saxophone. I did some improvisation. And soon later, when I was 17, I started to be interested in what was called at this time was free jazz. And that was for me improvisation. Free jazz was one thing what was important for me, what I tried to do on the saxophone. But I remember also I with a friend of mine, we did also very, very loud percussion stuff, really energy and loud music, just to hit on everything what we found. This was one thing. The other thing was that I was at this time also interested in art, and this was in the late 1960s. We are speaking about the late 1960s. It was happening in Fluxus. Abstract expressionism was already a little bit of history, but Fluxus was something was quite new, and conceptual art and minimal art. So I was I hang around a bit in these different worlds. On one side, in playing on my saxophone, doing something like free jazz, and also doing trying some things in what could be happening or conceptual art. So anyway, I was also interested in fluxes and happening, and I was doing both of these things and trying out what could be. I had also written my first pieces, which are something like action music on piano, and So that's how it started. And classical music was just one part of it. I was also interested in classical music. I remember one of the first pieces, or maybe it was the first piece of contemporary music, what I learned on clarinet was Abîme des Oiseaux, one movement of Quatuor pour la fin du temps, a piece by Messiaen. It was too difficult for me to play this piece at this time, but I was really focused on this piece and wanted to learn it because my teacher played this piece and they heard it in the concerts, and I have to learn this music and this piece. So that's how it started. And when I decided then later, when I was 20 or 21, that I will go to music, I know a little bit more about classical music, but I was not really a freak of classical music at this time. Of course, it happened and I learned a lot, and then and everything. I did my regular studies on clarinet. But it started from a point which was quite open to different directions.
And so you learned to play the clarinet, you studied that and got also very, very good in that. And so the whatever the composition part, or where you would write pieces or conceptualize pieces, that would always go along with it or went along with it?
Yeah, when it went on, and it was interesting because it was like two different lines. One thing was the clarinet. You're going to the conservatory to do all these classical pieces, repertoire. And the other thing was my composition, my improvisers thing, in art world. And I didn't see a possibility to connect this at the same school. So I separated it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So that one thing was the classical clarinet studies, and the other thing that was the composition. So I had a private composition teacher for 1.5 years. This was Urs Peter Schneider in Bern. And this was some kind of parallelism. I think over the whole time when I studied my clarinet, so there was never an official composition school or where I went to a official composition studies.
Without like too many composition teachers to really find your own way or your own sound or who you are. I mean, I think that's the hardest thing for a composer to really know and feel what I want to write, or isn't that difficult?
It's difficult. For me, it was clear that in Switzerland, the composers they gave lessons in composition, that was not what I wanted. Many of my friends in the same age, they went to Klaus Huber in Freiburg, but for me it was clear I did not want to go there. If this was a good decision, I don't know, but I saw when I went to Urs Peter Schneider, because he was something like the dessert plant in Switzerland. He had all these connections to Cornelius Cardew, to Scratch Orchestra. He brought all these music, Cage, Feldman, Christian Wolf, but all the other American, John Gibson, Alvin Lucier, all these guys. I don't know how he made this. He had a lot of scores, these old photocopies, and Lamont Young. And there was a collection of score from the Scratch Orchestra, was Nature Study Notes. It's a little carnet, a little book with just text scores by this Scratch Orchestra people. And he, beside my lessons, what I made with him, he brought a lot of material. And that was my material, what I was really interested in this between composition, improvisation, and also the and these when it's about cardio, it's the political context of what a composer can do in society and all these questions. And for me, this was really the most important thing when I worked with him. The lessons were okay, and he was the first person who looked at my scores and said, "Oh, what's that?" And did not, "Oh, it looks strange. It cannot be music." But he said, "Oh, what's that? Let's try find out what it is and how it can go on." And it helped me. It helped me to find, yeah. He did not say what I should do. I remember one thing I brought my first piece I brought to him was a piece. It's the title is Stück, and it's a collection of sheets of paper with sentences, with words, and it's something between a score for a musician or artwork, conceptual artwork. It's quite difficult what it is, but he for him it was clear that is something what can be done, and after that he said to me, "Okay, I think you should try to write some pitches now." So this was a funny advice, and I started then to write more normal music, more. So that's, but he accepted what I made. So that's, this was great.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he was very supporting.
Sounds like it, but it also sounds like you had this natural talent to know where your path is. How did you discover then Wandelweiser, and yeah, how would you describe Wandelweiser, and what does it mean for you?
Yeah, that's then somehow 15 or nearly 20 years later. So I finished my studies in clarinet, and I continued all the time to work as a composer, but it's it happened more or less without audience. So, but that means a performance every 5 years or something like that. But I wrote music, and I liked it, to write music and to find out what I could do. But I was also, I had the feeling or the wish that I didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but it was clear I do not want to become an old man just to write music for myself. So I when it started with Wandelweiser in the 1990s, early 1990s, I think I was absolutely ready for that. Everything was prepared for making this step to bring all my energies, my wishes, and all my knowledge to such a group of musicians and friends and composers. So, and when it started, so I had the feeling, so that's what I'm looking for since 10 years. So, and this was really a great feeling.
How did you find them?
Well, that's another funny story, but I met Antoine in Bosville. This is a little village in the neighborhood where I'm living. And they had a composers meeting every two years, I think, yeah. And when I was 17, 18, I was there as a teenager, with Klaus Huber was there, and he was the founder of this. But later I know it went on, and it has different, maybe sometimes a bit crisis in these meetings. But in the 91, there was always a subject what they want to speak about, and there's something like a competition. You have to send scores and this. And this time it was something like silence and music, or silence, time and silence, or something like that. I usually never send score to competitions, but so this is so interesting. And in the jury, there was also Christian Wolf was in the jury, and said, oh, this looks great. So I should try it. And they took my score, and it was also Antoine's score there. And that was the first time when we met. And then is another funny story that two years later, I had already since 10 years or more my series of concerts here. And I was thinking about what I could prepare for the next year, what to do. And I thought, I should get in contact with Antoine Boyger again, because in Boswell and 2 years ago, there were other composers, there were lots of discussion on speaking, and there was some interest from my side, but not so, yeah, there were too many people there. So I thought I should maybe think about that. And when I had almost my papers and all my sketches for the next concerts, I got a phone call from Antoine, and he asked me, I just wanted to know what you are doing. We met 2 years ago in Boswell. And then I said to him, okay, it's funny. I have here on my table some ideas for next year concert series. And one of the name on my papers is your name. I think we should do something. And this was the beginning. So I think this was the beginning of Wandelweiser, but even more, it was the beginning of our friendship, which is, for me, this was a very important concert. There were Antoine, me, my wife, and two other people in the concert, because nobody knew the name Antoine Boyger. There was a singer from Holland. Nobody knew her. There was something like a private concert, but for me it was so important because it was the beginning. I would say it was the beginning of our dialogue, mm-hmm. which went on over many, many years, as you know. So this, yeah, maybe you should, say a little bit about that, because he wrote the score. Mm-hmm. That was my third or second music for Marcia Huffy. This is a sheet of paper with dots, and the music is just this regular duck, duck, duck. The score looks like a graphic because these are just these dots. And my score, what I was working on at this time, what I already finished, was lines. And on the lines, there were eighth note with eight breaks. Which means, and also for percussion, which means it sounds quite the same. Also, da, da, da. And in my piece, there is a little difference because the instrument changes at some point. But in fact, the two pieces sounded the same, but the score looked absolutely completely different.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that we started to discuss and to speak about, and it at this time it was for me not very clear what happens here, but later when I was thinking about that this moment, it was clear this we were at a similar point, but coming from completely different directions. One come from this side, the other from the other side, and there is a meeting point with a very similar piece, but a very different score. And mm-hmm. this was so inspiring for me, and this was the basis for our ongoing till today friendship.
And then I'm sure you met Michael Pizarro or Radu Malfatti. I think they also
later,
the very early guys.
yeah, we met then then at this time I was not part of Wandelweiser. Later he asked me, I went to Düsseldorf for a concert in his series, and then they said, yeah, oh, there is something. And later there was also this first series of CDs what we made. Then I made with Michael at this time, with Kunzu and other with Borchardt. And this was also a funny thing, because when we met, I think this was in 96 or 95, we went all to Berlin, and I went too, and I thought, oh, these are now the Wandelweisers. But later I learned that for Michael, for Kunzu, maybe for others, it was the first time we met. Oh. So I had the idea, oh, they are the group, I joined them, but there was not really a group, but everybody came for the first time. That at the beginning, I think the group was Antoine and Burkhardt. And then, yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah, it has been growing a lot. If somebody doesn't know Wandelweiser, how would you describe what Wandelweiser is?
Well, it changed, of course, quite a lot over the years. Over this now more than 25 years, nearly 30 years. It's at the beginning for me, it was a possibility to discuss with composers, to find friends to work on, because in my situation, because my official education as a composer was 1.5 years, so I was somehow a self-made greenhorn, and it was so inspiring to work with or to discuss with other composers who has similar ideas, because the interesting thing is that it's not just for me but also for the others, all these long silences, everybody, all the my friends, nobody's interested. I'm the only people in the world that is doing that. Maybe there is somebody, but I don't know them. But suddenly we are a group of six, seven people who are interested in the same thing. And that's was for me the important thing. And what I appreciated so much and was so also so important that we found possibility to discuss, to encounter each other. That means if there is, speaking about composition, not just on the surface, a bit blah, blah, but you go deep to then it becomes very personal. And it's so easy to hurt somebody when it goes already to the deep things. Mm. And to find there a way to speak to each other and to discuss and to point things which are important without hurting, or with not a hint of hurting. That's a challenge. And for me, this was so important that we could discuss all these questions, and at the same time there was still respect the other how he is.
I know it's a very big gift in this group that you can be how you are, and you in a way discuss things very, yeah, as you say, on a very warm level and very respectful. And that, I mean, over the years I have been with Wandelweiser since 2006, that there always is the space also to try out things, even though maybe not everything turns out to be fantastic, but that also in Klangraum Düsseldorf there's always the space to try out, or maybe then it's the step to something else, and maybe the next thing is great, whatever great may be. And yeah, I find that also very, very supporting and nourishing, and that there is this quality. And yeah, I totally understand you.
Yeah, that, in fact, that's the spirit of Wandelweiser, which is so inspiring, and it gives also to everybody who is part of the group to go to make his individual steps forward. And it's so good to do this, but not in the desert. You have somebody who looks at that and gives comments, or I remember so many. Sometimes there are long discussions, but there are sometimes also just half a sentence. Mm-hmm. I think this piece is like Cézanne. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I did not think about that, but suddenly, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think what is also wonderful about the group, or maybe also formed you, is that most of you, I think, are musicians themselves, and that you also played your music for and with each other. I think that also gives a great group spirit. And I also remember, which was very fascinating for me, when we did this big project also at Düsseldorf, where we had an orchestra, mm-hmm. and we had pieces for orchestra and voice, or voices. And I also sang a piece by you, and everything was very soft. And then there was this one part where I think the trombone was playing really a short
It's a brass trio.
Very loudly, but there was always like a very soft drone. And somehow it my perception was differently. Within this context, I didn't hear the brass players as loud, even though I knew physically they are loud, but everything else was so, in a way, stronger. And that was very fascinating for me, that something that is loud doesn't seem loud. And
I think these are all these questions what came up, these kind of questions, right? Because usually we think loud is loud, but how is it possible that loud is not really gives a loud feeling? And as a composer, I do not have a simple answer for that. So if I recognize this, and this is part of the discussion, I go home and think about that. Why is this? Why can this happen?
The other thing that fascinated me is when I got to know Wandelweiser, they were actually just starting to also write for voice. And then I actually did my first Wandelweiser concert with a piece by yours, 27 words, 27 Worte. And how was it, or how is it for you writing for the voice?
Yeah, that's
the singing voice. I mean, I think you had speaking voices before, but the singing voice, I think, was for some of you pretty new.
I'm coming from the clarinet, so I had already a bit an idea of what is breathing and phrasing for using your body in. But the step to voice is, again, it's really something what I have to learn, because it's quite complex, because every voice is different, every colors in voices are so different. And I had to learn a lot about how to use a voice. In this other piece, what you mentioned before, these are 27 pieces, and the title is 24 words.
Ah, 24, okay.
Yeah, but there are 27 pieces. Mm-hmm. And this, because the voice has just a short phrase in it, it worked. And
it was very embedded also within the piano and the violin player. Yeah.
Yeah. But for instance, for voice solo, I have also written for voice solo. I found this extremely difficult, because it gives the natural phrasing with the breathing, but this natural phrasing gives also a structure to the music. That means I cannot make the structure. The structure is given a little bit by the or more or less by the voice, by the raising of the voice. And I had really to struggle with this. If there is just short phrases or single notes with breaks between, that's easy. But at the moment, it starts to become longer phrases. So this is a I think it's really a challenge. And that's for voice, it's that's also different because on a clarinet, you can make longer phrases than on a without breathing. And yeah, I would say like that. I learned a lot. And I think I'm a bit better now in writing for voices.
I'm also glad that you talk about breathing, because I find that, I mean, even though it's the most obvious thing for me about singing, but it's the thing that not all composers care about. And I think, as you say, it makes a difference. It gives the structure, or I, as a singer, then have to decide how to deal with phrases, however long they are. And yeah. I also remember a very long piece by yours, a solo piece, as perceptible as grief, unperceptible as grief.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a long journey also when I sang it back then, but I think it's a great piece. I like it.
Yeah, I have worked on this piece after you sang it. It's a process of 6 or 7 years to change things. Or it was, that's what I mentioned before. I found it so difficult it's also then the question of the low and high register and all this. And it's so, for me, it's also very difficult to write for voice without knowing who is the singer. Then usually I kept the composer, they keep it a bit. So it did work, but for every voice, it's E is not an E.
No, it's everything is different, and some things may be very easy for one singer and very difficult for another. Yeah. And
for a pianist, an E is an E. Kind of, you know, quite sure what happens when you write an E, but then you write an E for a singer, it's different every time.
Yeah. But it's good to hear that you're very thoughtful with us, and we singers like that. You mentioned it before that you curated the concert series Musikmoment in Aarau. It went on for quite a while, and at some point you also stopped, and now you're composing a lot. What did it mean for you to curate your own concert series?
Yeah, I did it over 30 years, so it started when I finished my study in Geneva, and that beginning it was a possibility for me to explore all this chamber music for clarinet, not just clarinet and piano, because the repertoire is quite limited, but all the chamber music and small orchestra, Jana Cech and Dietmar Darius Milhaud, Charles Koechlin, a lot of music from the beginning of the 20th century, also a little bit classical music. I had a time where I did some research in music from the classics, not just Mozart and Haydn, but there is a lot of clarinet music with strings in this time, with string quartet or string trio. And there was later I made a lot of the research with the music of Charles Koechlin. At this time, he was not, he had a bit revival later. So that was at the beginning. I wanted to play clarinet. And then parallel to this, I was looking for to meet composers. So I gave commissions to friends in my age in Switzerland. So I wanted to know what they are doing. That was also a bit a compensation of my not having regular composition studies. So I needed to be in contact with composers who have studied. I wanted to know what, how does it work. So the best was to ask them to write music, so I know how it goes, and I learned a lot of that. And then I got also the ideas that I asked other composers from the older generation what they were then. Yeah, a lot of possibilities to work with Kristen Wolf, with Howard Scranton, with Tom Johnson, many of them. So there was one thing, I like to play the music of them, but I want also to see how they are in rehearsal. What are they doing when you rehearse? How is, I analyze the music, and this was somehow a little bit a change from the more classical series with sometimes contemporary music to a series of contemporary music with premieres and with a lot of contact with different composers. And later when I became part of Wandelweiser, then it was also a possibility to create this forum of discussion in this series of concert. Yeah, that's how it changed over the year. It was some kind of a mixture of, it was a laboratorium for composers, and yeah, at the same time I tried to create a little audience here in Aarau, where I'm living. It's a little town there. But it worked. I would say it worked. And for me, it was important. Usually organizers for concert, they are thinking on the audience, how much more is better. But I was, in my thinking, I was always thinking from the side of the composer. I started from the composer's side or from the musician's side. That's the first step. And the audience comes after that. And this, yeah, it's a privilege to work like that. And it's at the same time a great pleasure.
Yeah, it was always also great because you also had this atmosphere that you also had different concerts after each other. And I also then get to meet Marianne Schuppe, who I worked with later on, and that was also great. Or Markus Kaiser was there, even though I know him from Düsseldorf as well. And you also always had this space to also talk about things and really feel it and be with each other. And it's not just a concert over, blah, 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 blah. But it was more like a listening together.
Yeah, that's exactly
together and
yeah. So that there are the concert, but there has always be room and time between to do whatever, to talk, to hang around, to make a little walk, or so this I think this was for me important to create this atmosphere.
I'm also curious how you structure your day, or if you have daily routines or some kind of time management, or is there anything you could advise also other artists?
Well, it's for me as a composer, when I had, because we have three children, they are adults now, and there's a moment where it's quite not so easy to find time to work. And I started then, it was also many years ago, it goes together with when I started with Wandelweiser. So I got the idea, I'm part of Wandelweiser, so I think I have to work now. I remember this was really a decision. I do not want to be a composer when I'm 60 who says, if earlier I would have worked more, it would have happened maybe this and that. So I thought, okay, I will work now. And I started to work every day, and because of my family, I had to do it in the early morning. That was this time when I started at 5 o'clock. So I composed every morning 5 o'clock for 2 or 3 hours. And then the family life and my all the I had I gave also some lessons and teaching in school, so all that happened. So this is not time management, it was just something what I had to do. And I learned at the same time that this it worked really. It's much better for me what I did before in the evening and the night. It's for me, it was the right moment.
So you're still composing in the mornings?
Yeah, I still do it, but not at 5 o'clock. I still do it. And this is not so much about time management, but more in general thing about I do for myself, and I already, it's not my idea. My idea, I read it somewhere. So take always 30% more time for something than you think it lasts. Mm-hmm. So if you think it's a 1 hour, think it's 1 hour and 20. It makes life easier.
That's a great idea, yeah. But I mean, yeah. On the hand, I mean, you mentioned it before. For many years, you had to handle different things. I mean, you have a family, you had children that were small. You were teaching, you were organizing your festival, and you were composing. That's quite a bit, and you got it done.
Yeah, that's really something. When sometimes when I look back and I speak with Elizabeth, with my wife, she's a musician too, and she has had also a series of concerts with early music. So we are saying, how did we do that? I cannot imagine how we did it. We just did it. Long days. They are long days. Start at 5 and ends at 10 or 11 or something like that.
And what are you thankful for today?
I think it's connected with my family. So I'm a couple with Elizabeth since 50 years. We have
three children. That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. Wow.
We have three children. They are adults. They go their way in life. I have a grandchild. So I think that's for me. It is something like I can lay back and say, okay, that's done. Besides that, there is, of course, there is my music, and I don't think about that in the sense of graceful. I just wrote the pieces. And in the last 10 years, they are played more and more. It happens. That's what I can say.
Yes, that's okay. Played a lot, and that's really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was something new for me that I had to learn. That to deal with this, people asked me for pieces, and I cannot do all of them. That was not easy at the beginning, but. It is how it is. So I had to accept it. So this is maybe a question that I have worked. I have written music for 30 years. First 20 years for myself, and then another 15 years in the context of Wandelweiser. Nobody asked me for doing something, and I do not want to change that. I also when I'm asked for commissions, I accept some of them, but I keep always enough time just to write something. What I do not know at the beginning what it will be. Mm-hmm. Just to what I did for the last 40 years. So that's how I'm working. That means I have to cancel commissions.
Yeah, but that's also great that you have this routine in a way. I mean, routine is not a good word, but this way how you compose your music, and that you can so much trust in it. That and also I think it's great to not think or care about what anybody else or an audience or whoever could think about it. I mean, then you're so free and honest.
Yeah, that's, I think that's one of the positive things. If you are not played, and if you are not, people is not taking care of you.
But you also must have had this big laugh, because some people would have not done that if it's not played. Maybe they would have been discouraged and just, okay.
It gives a lot of freedom. It gives a lot of freedom. You, and at the same time, I think that's important for, if you think, this was not a very clear, but an intuition when I was 25 and I have written some pieces, thought, okay, that's something, I think I can do this for the next 40 or 50 years. I did not know how, but I felt there is a lot of work for me to do, to discover and to find something. What I did not know at this time what it is, but the strong feeling it will not end when I'm 40.
Great. And yeah, when you look at your, also I would say, pretty fulfilled life in many areas, what does success mean for you?
Yeah, that's primarily it's a thing what for me it in composition is success is a word which is maybe too strong, but that's when I make a piece and then it's performed and it happens something, and I think I can say yes to the piece. Mm-hmm. That's what, that's good. That's good. So, but I think for me, success in the sense of how many people is listening to that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a joke when I say it doesn't exist. It's, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the highest form of freedom.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm open to a reaction. When I recently had a discussion with a violin player, and he said to me, because it was the question, how can you play this long and soft piece? And he said, oh, it gives something to me. And this is for me important. That's also, I think, I give something in the score. Something of my personality, of my feelings, of my maybe intellectual ideas, or is written in the score. That's so, for me, so important that I have the feeling I make it into the score. At the end, it's just notes and pages, but when the musician is playing the music, it comes back, it goes to the musician. Oh, it gives something to me. And that's, I think that's absolutely a traditional thing. That's the reason why do we play Schubert. I play with my wife in the last years. We play piano forehands. I'm not a good player at all, but just house music, like, and very the fast movements we play, slower and things like. But why do we play Schubert string quartet all the time? It's never boring. It gives something. And I do not say this is success, but this is what I think is important. And that's the reason why the music goes on. That's the reason a musician does not play my music, because he has to want to play because it is something in it. Not because he got a lot of money or because there's a great festival and he goes, oh, I do it. And that's the good thing. If it's really on the basis of music making, mm-hmm. And that's when I say it's not about the audience. That's what I'm interested. Can I write a piece which, a piece what the player, when he plays it, has a feeling, oh yeah, it gives, I want to play it. It sounds good to me. It's something what I can do. It's a pleasure to do. And that I said that is something traditional, because that happens in the music what is mm-hmm. already composed from an earlier from the Romantic. That's what I said. For me, it's an interesting question. Why do we play it? It's always the same. But I mean, we like to play it every day.
for many of us, if I might mention that, we all got to this point when, well, last year this COVID-19 came and we were stuck at home, projects were cancelled, and I also sat there and I'm like, I knew I had to practice like a sports person to be, you know, healthy and active with my voice, that I could continue, and I really wanted to continue, but at first it was hard to motivate me, because I was so used to just practice for a certain date, a certain concert, a certain goal. And suddenly that was gone. And then I also pulled out Handel and Mozart, no contemporary music. And after a while, I liked it, because I've also had the feeling I was maybe very much in connection with music, just music, because mm-hmm. I started doing music because I love music. And so I became very aware of that again. And in that way, that also was a gift for me. And even in the last few months, where you also cannot really plan regularly, and I don't know if things take place or things were streamed or things get canceled or whatever, but I just practice. I don't mm-hmm. care if it will be canceled or not, because this is so nice for me to sing every day and yeah. experience me and see what my voice can do and how things developed. And maybe that's the same thing that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think it is also a responsibility of a composer to write such things which makes these possible.
Yeah. Well, it has been already almost a great hour with you, but
I see.
But I have one last question for you, which I always ask. I would like to know, is there any advice, tip you would like to give young artists?
Yeah, because my way, how it developed is not regular, I would say. And it works. So that might be for a younger artist. Yeah, inspiring thing.
Yeah,
there are so many ways to how it goes. Mm-hmm. It's not a rule or an idea how it. Maybe at the beginning the small path are better than the highways.
But that's great that you just stay open and yeah. be true or figure it out, and just, you know, do not try to follow other things or rules, and maybe it's different for you. I think that's very great. I thank you very much, dear Jörg, that we at least through this
week, a pleasure,
we could talk and see each other, and I really hope that you also see each other again in person.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wish you a great time in Ado.
Same to you. And I'm sure we will meet in person and make music together.
This was the interview with the composer and clarinet player Jörg Frey. I really hope that it inspired you. And I'm looking forward to your ideas, suggestions, or emails, or you can write me through Facebook. Thank you very, very much that you tuned in with me today. I really hope that you liked it and it inspired you. And I'm looking forward, if you could take some time to suggest this podcast to your friends and colleagues. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best. Live your music, live your life, and see you next time. Yours, Irene.